Thank you for listening to the Pillar Podcast, where we cover a wide variety of content pertinent to pastors who value Reformed theology, Baptist distinctives, and the primacy of the local church and missions. Visit thepillarnetwork.com for more info.
Before we jump into this week's podcast, a few announcements about Pillar and the upcoming Southern Baptist Convention. First, sign up for our Pillar Morning Fellowship. Tickets are going fast. At this fellowship, we will have a panel, some refreshments, coffee, and a good time of fellowship with our pastors from across the U.S. The event will run the morning of June 12th. That's the Wednesday right before the morning session of the SBC. Second, I would encourage you to swing by the Pillar Network booth at this year's Southern Baptist Convention. We have a larger space than last year with plenty of room to reconnect with our network partners and pastors, as well as meet pastors interested in the network. And finally, the Baptist 21 panel will be the morning of June 11th. That's the Tuesday right before the Southern Baptist Convention. Early bird tickets are still available, but they're going fast. So sign up soon if you plan to attend. And you can sign up or learn more about all these things at thepillarnetwork.com. We look forward to connecting with you soon. Now back to the podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Pillar Network podcast. My name is Dave Keene. I'll be hosting our conversation today. I serve as the regional director with the Pillar Network. We have four brothers who are also regional leaders, kind of leading different regions kind of throughout the area. Well, let's just kind of start with introducing yourselves. Brandon, we'll start with you.
Hey, my name is Brandon Langley. I'm the pastor of St. Rose Community Church. We're a church replant just about 10 minutes west of the New Orleans airport. Been pastoring here for almost 9 years and leading the region for just a couple years.
Now, when you say leading the region, are you leading the region for New Orleans or the whole state of Louisiana?
Well, you asked me to be the regional leader when I was the only Pillar church in New Orleans and only the second Pillar church in all of the state. So I did really good at leading myself for a long time.
Okay, great. Well, now you're leading the whole entire state, right?
That's right.
There's just a booming number of Pillar churches in Louisiana.
That's right.
Peter Hess.
Yeah, I'm serving as the leader for Hampton Roads, Virginia. So that's Southeast Virginia. Been doing that for the last 2 years and been at my current church, Christ Fellowship Church of Williamsburg, the last 11 years.
Wonderful. Nick.
My name is Nick Lingle, and I'm the pastor at Westwood Baptist Church in Nashville, Tennessee. And I have been leading the Pillar region here for the past year and a half.
Wonderful. And then Aaron.
Yeah, I'm Aaron Browning. I'm the lead pastor at Northwest Bible Church in St. Michael, Minnesota. And I've been leading the Twin Cities and really the entire state of Minnesota's region for about 5 years.
Doesn't it just seem like you can feel confident when you're saying, I lead the whole entire state of Minnesota? Does that feel like you're a big deal?
No, not at all. I wish it did. I wish it made me feel better about it. But it doesn't. Yeah.
Well, guys, first of all, I just want to thank you publicly for leading your regions, kind of additionally your time as a pastor, but pouring your life into other pastors. It's an absolute blessing to see what God has done in all of your areas. We kind of want to start, Brandon, I want to kick this question to you. When you think about a region, what do you want to see maybe accomplished in these regions? What's the aim of a region for Pillar?
Yeah, we think about the regional strategy in terms of really three C's. And so the first one, because we're good Baptists, we alliterate things. The first one is connecting. I know for me personally, one of the things that drew me to Pillar was I did not know anybody who, or I didn't know many people who were like-minded. And it took me having a random conversation with someone in a doctoral program that I found out about Pillar. So when you talk about regional leaders, one of their responsibilities is that they connect like-minded guys with other pastors. And they help the basically guys that would love a fellowship like we have. They just don't know it exists. And yeah. So regional leaders try to connect pastors. Secondly, they get into relationships with those pastors where they provide coaching, which is just conversations with pastors where we're trying to do them spiritual good and trying to help them process through what's going on in their churches and maybe have an outside perspective, help them understand maybe some areas where they could even have improvement and didn't see it. And then thirdly, we want to collaborate. So the goal is not just for us to have friends that are like-minded. The goal is not just to have the coaching element, but we want to see churches come together to partner to plant more churches, revitalize more churches, and pull resources together, people together, and help one another know about opportunities. I think replanting is a huge thing that's needed in the country. I know in our area, and you only even know about replanting opportunities if you're connected relationally throughout your region. So 3C is connecting, coaching, collaborating. That's what we're trying to do.
Amen. And we have regions by God's grace, really all over the world. And really what we're trying to do is get churches together regionally where they can maybe effectively cooperate and collaborate together. So Peter, maybe ask you a question. How have you worked to build relationships among the pastors and among the churches in your region?
Yeah, the Pillar region in Hampton Roads really started in some ways about 5 or 6 years ago. I mean, we've been meeting together as a group of pastors ahead of now because we understood from the beginning that it's important for pastors to have friends that we can people we can share with, people who kind of understand our position, can pray for us with insight. And then what happened with Pillar is once we found out about Pillar, it gave us kind of a shared framework of ministry. The DNA of Pillar matched us really well. And so we began, I started out, there was Ryan Bryce, who's another brother. We both joined with Pillar. And then it was already those network of relationships that had already been formed that help us continue to kind of grow a region here in Hampton Roads where we now have 8 churches meeting together regularly. And it's been really fruitful over the last 2 years to kind of continue to march forward together, to see new pastors join with us. So we have new friends now that we didn't have before, but we found them through Pillar. And the shared, you know, kind of vision we have for seeing healthy churches started and strengthened. So it has, being a part of Pillars really served us well for the last 2 years.
Amen. Now, Aaron, one of the things I particularly appreciate about the pastors in Minnesota, it seems like you guys genuinely like each other. There's a lot of joy when you guys are around, some teasing of one another. How have you kind of maybe seen that connecting, that relational connection play itself out in Minneapolis?
Well, we certainly pretend to like each other in public, but like internally, there's some like real feuds. So we put on a happy face. No, I think a big part of a successful region is pastors who have genuine friendships with one another. I think partnering is going to become a lot more natural if we care about each other and care for each other's ministries. So, you know, Brandon mentioned the 3 C's. For us to connect, we don't only connect over the regional gathering. I think we do a decent job offline, grabbing lunches with one another, connecting individually and in small groups and just saying, hey, how can we pray for you guys? And that just those other touch points have been really helpful in developing genuine friendships. I think when we think about collaboration, to develop those friendships, we do other ministry things together. So a couple of our churches came together a couple months ago and hosted a marriage conference. And that was very intentional to say, hey, we need to strengthen marriages. Our church can put this on alone, but it would be better for all of us if we did it together. So I think we're all pretty intentional about bringing each other along on some of these other ministry endeavors, both to connect more often with each other and also to collaborate, not just on church planning and revitalizing, but let's collaborate together on strengthening our churches.
Amen. That's wonderful. Now, Nick, let me ask a question for you. The way you set up the region there in Nashville is a little bit unique. You have larger quarterly gatherings, and in those quarterly gatherings, do you just kind of keep those just Pillar pastors? Do you open it up to the larger other pastors in the Nashville area? How is that? How have you set that up?
The churches here in Nashville have been, super. There's been an appetite for camaraderie and that, you know, spending time together, fellowship. I think pastors are encouraged by it. The churches are helped as, you know, the relationships are strengthened, as Aaron just mentioned. So, yeah, we've had a much broader group, maybe 40 or 50 guys at those lunches each quarter. And, I think we might lose a little bit of that closeness of like, you know, a conversation among close friends. If it was 6 or 7 guys, what a, you know, small group in a church might feel like. But I think we gain, you know, having a place for new pastors in the city who don't know anybody and they can come and meet a lot of guys all at once. We gain a place for some discouraged pastors whose churches maybe would want to be part, or the pastor would want to be part of Pillar, but the church wouldn't. And they're just super discouraged. And they find a lot of encouragement through being with other guys and knowing they're not alone. And Yeah, I mean, we've also met a bunch of potential church planters, revitalizers through those meetings, and just, you know, a kind of networking atmosphere that facilitates kind of down the road a lot of those partnerships. So
I really appreciate one thing about you, Nick, is that I often, you know, hear about a guy in the Nashville area and I'm just send him your way. And within a matter of weeks, you're having lunch with them and just being able to encourage them. Some guys just looking about, hey, how do I plan to revitalize? Some are just desperate for friendship. And I'm just thankful for that, the way you model that. Brandon, how about you? Obviously, you said you were the only church in New Orleans that was a Pillar church for a long time. How do you think about maybe having a gathering that's maybe just guys who are like-minded versus guys who might be a little bit broader? What are some benefits and, you know, challenges of both approaches?
Sure. Well, I mean, we started out because we were the only Pillar church. We started out saying, okay, how can we raise awareness and even invite some pastors in that maybe don't exactly have Pillar-like convictions yet? But pastors whom we could encourage with some good books and some good conversation, and maybe they would develop some Pillar-like convictions. And so we started out with a pastor prayer breakfast that we did once a month, where we would feed the pastors, sing a hymn together. I'd have about 4 discussion questions on a particular topic, expositional preaching or biblical eldership. And many of the pastors there had never really heard or talked about plurality of elders. And so we'd have kind of a discussion, and some of the pastors would and some of the pastors wouldn't. And then at the end, I'd have free books on the table and say, you can take one. And this is for you. We just want to bless you. And so there is an outreach element that can be a benefit to opening it up, which is important. And we've personally seen fruit from that. We've seen some relationships develop and pastors really develop those convictions. What you lose a little bit is the collaboration element, right? We're wanting to collaborate with like-minded guys to plant more churches, revitalize more churches. So if you got other brothers there that maybe you would differ enough in ecclesiology that you wouldn't necessarily partner with to plant a church, that makes it for a hard, open conversation about collaboration. And so I think even for us right now, you know, we're kind of contemplating a dual approach, you know, where every other month, you know, one of the months is for anybody and everybody. The other month is only for guys that have really joined the Pillar Network.
Got it. Now, Peter, in a typical time that you guys get together trying to coach and maybe sharpen each other, what are some of the things that you guys talk about in a typical regional gathering?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. What we try to do is something that we found really helpful, which is everyone kind of brings their own discussion topic. So we're all facing different challenges as pastors, and it's really kind of under the rubrics of either something that's happening in your own personal life or something that's happening in the church that you're looking for help for, prayer for, encouragement in. And we will go around at the beginning of the lunch and we'll just kind of share those. You're not required to bring one of those, but you're encouraged strongly to bring one of those, because we want to have a fruitful conversation. And things that we will talk about include how our marriages are doing, or parenting challenges, or a difficult member conversation that we have to have with someone in the church, or a difficult decision that the church has to make about any number of items. Could be anything from moving or whether or not to partner with a particular missionary, just trying to help the pastors think through and trying to help us all together think through these particular challenges that we're facing and that we're all facing at different times. And at the end of each discussion, something that we found to be really fruitful is after we have, you know, each particular conversation, and we'll probably have 5 or 6 discussions, you know, specifically around topics each lunch, we just stop and pray for that brother at that time. And so it allows us to continue to pray for one another as well. And that's also been encouraging to be able to pray for one another intelligently during those meetings.
Yeah, we've always said here at Pillar that one of the reasons why I think that our cooperation has been so effective is really because it's been kind of built on the guardrails of relationships. And you know one another, you trust each other, and obviously sharing struggles and praying for each other builds a deep connection. So when it comes to that next step of maybe collaborating together, you might see more likely those things happening. Aaron, let me ask you a question. How have you kind of worked to maybe connect the churches together, maybe include some of the membership of your churches, not just the pastors? Have you thought through how do we maybe get some of the relational beauty that you guys have there kind of spread to your churches?
Yeah, I think that goes back to what I mentioned earlier. And that's just being pretty intentional to do some things together. I don't know how else to develop a like-minded sense between members unless your churches are intentional about getting together with each other regularly. So whether that's one of the pastors hosts a Bible conference that we encourage members to attend, or hosting a marriage conference, like I mentioned earlier, just putting on events where our church members can actually get together. And one of the things I've appreciated it from even our own pastors is getting texts regularly from the guys in the region saying, hey, we're praying for your church this Sunday. How can we pray for you? So I think the pastors in our region are very intentional about making those prayers meaningful and personal. And I think that helps the whole body feel connected to those other churches when we pray for each other regularly, corporately.
Wonderful. Well, obviously we talked about a little about, you know, connecting with each other and maybe coaching each other with different topics. So there's lots of different ways that we do that. But obviously one of the reasons, one of the marks of Pillar is being kingdom-minded. We want to collaborate together. We want to pool our resources, our people resources and our financial resources for the sake of the kingdom. So I want to talk a little bit about maybe some stories that you may have, how your regions have collaborated together. So Nick, we kind of maybe mentioned of it briefly, but how has, you know, those larger gatherings that you guys have done maybe fostered some collaboration opportunities that you guys have done there in Nashville?
Yeah, I mean, we are trying to plant and revitalize, and the lunch has been one place where we can encourage that explicitly, both in the topics that we cover as well as, you know, the things we platform. So Jonathan Worsley is planning a church in Exeter, Lord willing, in the coming months. And he last year, you know, took time during one of those lunches to present the prospectus, kind of all that they were looking to do. And we encourage churches to consider supporting them. And several have jumped into that. Prior to that, King's Cross Church planted here in East Nashville, a brother who is here in the city already, and they are being supported heavily by a number of the Pillar churches and churches beyond Pillar here. And so there's another pastor who's just recently started coming to the lunches, it's a Hispanic church actually, and Reformed Baptist Hispanic Church. I think it's got to be the only one in Nashville, but they started as a small group, and as they have grown, he's still, you know, full-time working outside the church. And so we're trying to collect a bunch of churches to support him so that he can be full-time invested in the work there.
That's wonderful. That's one of the things that, you know, we often want to do. We want to open up our network of relationships, churches that love to support planting and revitalizations, and be able to say, hey, here's churches, a church that we want to commend, and then support them. So that's wonderful. Now, Brandon, tell us a little bit about maybe the story that you had with the churches across town where you helped maybe talk to the search committee. I think it's a wonderful story of continual collaboration.
Yeah, sure. So our church was a replant of First Baptist Church of St. Rose. And we actually received an invitation to come speak with another First Baptist church that's just across the river from us, less than 15 minutes away, that basically for a long time had gone through the same cycle of dwindling, and we're down to around 30 people on Sunday mornings, and were assembling a pastor search committee, but they didn't want to go through the same thing over again. Lots of short pastoral stints. And so they wanted to ask me, what did you guys do? Like, how did First Baptist Church of St. Rose turn around and sort of be revitalized like it was? And so so that began a relationship with that pastor search committee where I met with them a lot to talk about biblical healthy churches and what kind of pastor they should even be looking for. They invited me to speak to the whole church. So I did 6 weeks on ecclesiology for their remaining church members. And at the end of it, they voted like 94% to find a pastor.
Pause for a second. You got to share the story. You don't have to use any names, but you got to share the story when the moment you thought things were going to implode.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there was a woman in the church. Is that what you're talking about? The older woman at the church? Yes. There's an elderly woman in the church that had been there for, I don't know, decades. And it was at the end of week five, and I had just taught on church discipline, which they had not done in, you know, ever. And older woman raises her hand and says, "I've been taking you to the Lord recently." and I thought, oh no, is this like imprecatory or is this, she said, "I've been taking you to the Lord recently. And I've got something to say. I've struggled with everything you've said for the last 5 weeks, but God has revealed to me that everything you've said for the last few weeks comes straight from the Bible. So if I'm struggling with you, then I'm struggling with the Bible and I need to repent. And our whole church needs to consider what you're saying." And it was a game changer. I mean, the tide turned, the whole thing was now like, okay, what are we supposed to do? So they voted, 94% affirmative just to find a pastor with these ecclesiological convictions. And so that took me to Pillar. I'm in the regions group saying, "Hey, does anybody know of an aspiring guy? Does anybody know where we can find this?" And through Pillar reaching and teaching, we found a guy that actually had connections to New Orleans that was on the field in Kenya praying about how he could come back to the States to pastor a church to be missional. And so he was the only resume they received. and they welcomed him to be their pastor. He's been there for over a year now. He's led them to change their bylaws. He has joined us in international work in Peru now as our churches become more partnered together. And then in January, he's leading their church to have a plurality of elders for the first time. It's gonna be a while before he can raise up his own. So in January, we laid hands on one of our four elders that had connections over with that community and sent him out with his family of five to join him to become the their first lay elder. And so, so now one of our brothers that served here for 3 years is over there and he's serving and laboring. And it's just a beautiful thing to see our churches growing closer and closer and hopefully see even more partnership in the coming days.
Yeah, and I just want to make a comment. Like, and that church is not even a Pillar church. Again, we want to care about the kingdom of God and we hope that one day they would be, but we're not trying to help churches so that we would build the Pillar kingdom, but we want the kingdom of God to go forward. So churches that are in need, we want to maybe share our time our best, that wonderful story of God's grace. Peter, tell us a little bit about the pastor's conference that you had and then maybe some of the new work that you guys have recently talked about doing there in Hampton Roads.
Yeah, last year we had our first, and we're called our Hampton Roads Pillar Conference, and we had our first one, and it was a collaboration of the eight churches that are together, and then some other churches or some other pastors who joined with us got involved as well, and basically we kind of worked through all the logistics together, what it would take to bring in Phil Newton and Mike McKinley to come and talk with us about discipleship, and so we just spent a Saturday together as churches, brought it together about 250 of our people together. That was huge for building relationships among our churches as well, as people just spent time together, ate together. And then Phil Newton and Mike did a wonderful job of taking us through four different sessions on discipleship. And then also just kind of doing an open Q&A time with us. And it set up something for us where we're hoping to do this annually. So Lord willing, in November, Mark Dever is going to come down to help us put on our second conference. And we're just going to keep working and inviting different churches. And in particular, we're trying to reach out to pastors. Because of what Brandon was saying earlier, we want to encourage other pastors to be thinking about what a healthy church looks like, how that can help them as they seek to be faithful shepherds of their congregation. And it just gives us an opportunity to reach out to other pastors and other churches and introduce them to some of the things that, you know, we've come to understand the Bible to teach as part of the Pillar Network.
Wonderful. And then tell us a little bit about the new work that you guys were thinking about collaborating together on.
Yeah, like Pillar, we want to start and strengthen churches. That's what we're looking to do here in Hampton Roads. And the need in Hampton Roads, most especially, is for a Spanish-speaking church. We do not know really of just a handful of kind of theologically conservative, faithful, kind of expositional Spanish-speaking ministries in Hampton Roads. There's maybe two, but there's 150,000 Spanish speakers in Hampton Roads, and they need a healthy church to be a part of. And so all of our churches have kind of pitched in different resources together because we're trying to kind of build a platform to bring in a Spanish-speaking church planter who can begin that work. We have a brother who has volunteered a portion of his church, space in his church. Another church has pitched in housing for this person. Other churches have pitched in, you know, financial salary support together. And so we feel like we're putting together you know, something that's really achievable, doable together as a group of churches. We've had conversations with two pastors The first one does seem like that's going to work out. The second conversation, we're hoping ultimately will work out. This brother's been a church planter throughout South America and Central America. He's got a proven track record. We're really excited about him. We're praying to see if this is something that Lord would do. But his wife's mother was recently diagnosed with cancer. And so they feel the need to care for her. And so, you know, certainly we're praying for them as they seek to honor their mother in that way. But we feel like we're ready. We're just asking the Lord to provide us with the right person. And when the right time comes, this group of churches here in Hampton Roads will be ready to come alongside that brother and support him and hopefully see a healthy Spanish-speaking church started here soon.
Well, Lord willing, we will hear about that story in the years to come about how your churches work together to plant that congregation. Aaron, tell us a little bit about how have you guys collaborated together in the Twin City region?
Yeah, one of the couple opportunities that have been really exciting for us is when we sent a church planter together to Guam. So the only church pillar church in Guam is got it sent out of the Minnesota region, because when you think of Guam, you think of Minnesota most naturally. But he was actually a guy that a number of us had had a friendship with. He did a residency at one of our churches. And it was great to see kind of a global reach of our region. And then a second instance, and this one was kind of affected us directly, but also demonstrates the helpfulness of a broader network of churches, is we had a pastor on staff with us that grew up in North Carolina and had a desire to go back to North Carolina and plant. And as he was articulating that desire with our elders, I have a number of good friends who pastor in North Carolina, and I just shared this with one of them. And he said that day, he said, actually, I just found out today that I have a residency opening for a planter. So we sent our pastoral staff member to a church in North Carolina. And from there, he's planting in the next 6 months in Greenville. And he's connected with a half dozen to 10 churches there. So, I mean, it's just neat to see not only like us being able to directly partner with him, but as a region, support him, and then see how other regions have collaborated to make this possible. So it's just one of those, like, that would not happen if our region wasn't connected with other regions.
Yeah. Amen. One of the beauties of the Pillar Network is that we really try to give the network away, and we want to give our resources to our pastors to help collaborate and think together. How can we expand the work of the kingdom? So I just want, again, to affirm all of you. Obviously, we have Louisiana, you have New Orleans, which is a unique animal within the state of Louisiana and the Midwest and Nashville and all the things that are happening there. And of course, Hampton Roads, a lot of unique areas. When you have thought through your leading of a region, what are some principles that you have learned that might be beneficial for other pastors who want to do something similar, or other regional leaders in our network that might be listening to this podcast?
One of the things that we found really helpful is to be careful and build slowly. And so one of the things that we've tried to do as a network is make sure that the people we invite to the lunches are people that we kind of know and trust and feel like they're going to be helpful in terms of their presence. And kind of building slowly, carefully has allowed us not only to have, I think, deeper relationships, but it's allowed us to have more fruitful conversations because we're talking about things that we kind of know about, agree about. And we think that strong foundation is kind of helping us do this collaborative work together in a way that if we were just like, hey, everyone come, it would really be a different thing. It's not a bad thing. It would just be a different thing than what we're trying to do. We're trying to go deeper together as pastors here in Hampton Roads so that we can collaborate well together. And so, just trying to build that foundation where there's a good understanding of everyone who's there. And that's been really helpful for us.
Right. Nick, how about you?
Yeah, I don't have much. I'll leave the kind of alliterated package of cooperative principles to Brandon to give us. But I think one of the guys here in Nashville had said a while back, just by way of encouragement to the other pastors, to think about giving 10% of your time to cooperation. And I think that has been happening, and we've encouraged even more of that, where, you know, everybody's kind of reaching out to one another and trying to devote a few hours a week to one-on-one lunches or group lunches and strategizing for planting and revitalization. And so it's been sort of a helpful tip, if you will, for me, and just thinking about my weekly rhythms to review, you know, how much time I'm giving to relationships with others.
That's wonderful. Brandon.
Yeah, I think I would say it's very important to be very kind and very clear in your communication about what Pillar is trying to do, especially as it relates to other organizations in your city or in your area that are also trying to do kingdom work, right? So I think there is an assumption or there's a fear amongst well-intentioned brothers that Pillar is competition to them. I know that in New Orleans, we're a sin city for the North American Mission Board. We've got the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. We've got the New Orleans Baptist Association. And I just want all the brothers who are leaders of those organizations or heavily involved to be really happy that I'm in the city and to be very thankful that I'm in the city and not to see me as some sort of like begrudging sort of grumpy Reformed Baptist guy, but to see that what I'm trying to do is just to see more church plants happen that just happen to run in this lane where we agree on, you know, male elders, plurality of elders, expositional preaching, confessionally Baptistic, right? That we just have particular things we're passionate about that we want to work together. And that's not a competing thing or even a separate thing from what they're doing. We just have a lane we're running in under the broader umbrella of kingdom work in our city. And so be very kind, be very clear in your communication, and it'll open up more doors for kingdom work.
Wonderful. And Aaron, what about you, friend?
So a principle that helped us kind of settle in Pillar has been reinforced a number of times in our church and just in my experience as a pastor. And that is to, we can associate broadly, but partner narrowly. So I want to develop like Brandon said, a large umbrella of pastoral friendships and be generous to churches outside of our region, outside of our Pillar connections, because the kingdom of God is bigger than our Pillar region. But when it comes to partnership and planting, like the Pillar network is the family of churches that we can plant in because we're going to do it the same way. We believe the same things. So that principle has just been reinforced in our network, in our ministry, at our church a number of times. And I go back to that pretty regularly.
Amen. Well, again, I want to thank you all for being on this podcast, but even more than that, just giving your time and your energy and your resources to help build the kingdom of God. And God using Pillar to do that. So I'm so thankful for all of you. And we pray that as you have connected and coached one another, that you would help collaborate to see God's name expand in your area and to the ends of the earth. So thanks so much for being on, guys. I just want to maybe close in a quick word of prayer, and then we'll be done. Father, I thank you so much for these men. We just pray that your blessings would continue to be upon us as we labor together for the sake of your great name through our network. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks, guys.
The Pillar Network exists to equip, plant, and revitalize churches all over the world, sharing a common DNA of biblical authority, gospel proclamation, live expository preaching, elder-led congregationalism, confessionally Baptistic theology, and kingdom-minded cooperation. To connect with us, visit thepillarnetwork.com.